Welcome back to Trevolting. Hosted by Jeff Sweeney from Distilled Elm. Covering Cash App. Enjoy the episode. If you haven't, turned your fucking podcast player off,
I'm trying to do you a favor, everybody,
folks. we're back.
We're back.
As everyone knows, we've interrupted your previously scheduled Winona Ryder filmography episode. To take a trip back down memory lane.
Yes. Because,
you know, anytime one of our subjects comes out with a new movie, we have to check in and see what's going on. We have to see what's cooking. We're completionists here.
Yeah.
John Travolta released a new movie 4 days before this episode is being released. That's right, folks. This is hot off the press.
Hot off the press.
Cash Out released April 26th of 2024. Mm-hmm. You're listening to this May 1st. You know, it's a pretty quick turnaround. You got to give some credit for that.
Yeah.
You put it out, and we watched it last night. Right? You and I?
We did.
Yeah.
We watched it.
And we are here to talk about it, to let you know. Last time we checked in with John, it was The Shepherd.
Oh, my God. It was The Shepherd. I was thinking, like, before that was...
Mobland.
Before that was Paradise City.
And before that was Die Hard.
Die Hard.
And then before that was Paradise City.
We did Paradise City before Die Hard?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Since we started Fraser, it was Paradise City was our first return.
Oh, I remember why. Because they released it as a movie.
Yeah, Die Hard. Die Hard was originally a Quibi show.
Originally a Quibi show.
Yeah. And then Mobland after Die Hard. And then The Shepherd. And then Cash Out. That's been the run.
My God.
Remember Cash Out, the episode where Mark Tilly's watching the movie while we were recording the episode?
Yeah. You mean The Shepherd when Mark Tilly's watching?
The Shepherd,
okay,
yeah.
I thought you said Cash Out.
No. Cash Out, it's a, you know, another one of Travolta's Saban Films releases.
Yeah, this had like six logos.
Yeah, this had a lot of fucking studio. And you guys have ever seen that Family Guy skit where Peter's like in the theater and he's like, you know, I hate it when you can't tell whether it's the movie star or if it's the logo. That's one of, this is one of those movies.
Yeah.
It's like all these logos and Stuart and I kept being like, oh, this is, oh, no, it's just the logo.
One of those was literally like, you see like water in the distance and you're like, okay, we're on a ship. Nope.
It's a studio logo.
Studio logo. Like it did actually happen. Yes.
We were genuinely fooled.
Yeah. Yeah, we're another Saban direct-to-video.
Saban, who's been pumping out these direct-to-video Travolta movies for a while now.
And they make money.
They make money off these things.
Because they keep doing them.
They keep doing, like, the strategy with movies like this is you kind of just, you pump them out, you make them for cheap, you sell foreign distribution rights to every, like, fucking country.
Mm.
And that essentially pays for your budget. And then you just put it out on streaming platforms on video on demand. And like you just sell them to anything that will buy them. You're just like, yeah, you wanna screen this in Malaysia, we'll give you the movie. And ultimately Saban makes a little profit off of it.
Yeah.
That's why they keep making them.
It's a weird business strategy, but evidently it keeps working. And Travolta, I know he's got That's Amore coming out at some point.
The strategy is not to make good movies. It's just to make a profit. As you can evidence by Saban, the amount of movies Saban Films is making nowadays.
Well, and I was going to say, like, is that also, like, just Travolta's strategy? Like, is he broke?
I don't think he's broke. I think he's fine, but I think this is the only movies he can get now.
But like, does he need to be in this many movies?
I think he likes money.
Well, he likes money, but there's other ways to make money with his clout of fame that he...
Oh, and he's doing them. He's doing the Capital One ads.
Right. That's why I'm like, why embarrass yourself in these movies when you can just be doing like Capital One ads and speeches and other shit?
I think he likes acting. He likes working. And he's not getting cast in anything exciting. So if these are the only movies he can get, I'm sure he just likes...
But what if he just did like indies for no money? Like, why does he then have to...
Well, he likes money. This is the problem here, I think.
I just like...
This is the problem here, is that he has...
He keeps digging himself in this hole,
I think,
though.
He has a big enough ego that he likes money. I also think he is in a position where the only thing he could get on that is of quality would be a very small indie.
Right.
And those two do not correlate. Because the indie's not going to pay him money.
But he has other ways of making money. Besides,
Stuart,
I know. I should just stop.
To make money.
I should just stop trying to think about it. But it's just like, what do you tell? Like, he needs an intervention where someone can just be like, yo, like, can you just do like ads and then like small budget indies? Mm-hmm. Like, why do you keep churning out these like embarrassing...
But also at this point in his career, like, what small indie, like... They're like, yes,
him.
Travolta's like washed up and just in all these like direct-to-video action movies.
I just mean like any newer, younger filmmaker who like could like, you know, would be excited about getting John Travolta in their movie. Like, I don't know. Might be something there, but yeah. I know. I'm thinking about it too much and I know not to, but it's just like, It seems like he's not even trying to turn his career around at this point.
I don't think he is.
So then, like, why should we then, like, I mean, not that to say, like, why should we even keep covering him? But it is just, like, watching this movie just made me think, it's like, is there an expiration date on this guy? Besides, I hate to say it, but death. Like, are we gonna keep covering everything he makes until he dies, or is there gonna be a point in our life where we just have to be like, we just have to throw in the towel for Travolta because he's just never gonna come back?
I think we gotta keep covering him. I think, but I think there's a chance he has a comeback
with That's Amore.
No, but I think he might have a comeback, but I don't think it's gonna really be his choice to have a comeback. Like, I think someone's gonna cast him in a good movie and that's gonna be his comeback. It's not because he's looking for a good movie to be in.
Huh.
Like, I would not be surprised if Tarantino cast him in his last movie in some role.
Hmm. But it'll probably be like a very small role.
A smaller role. But I would not be surprised if something along those lines happened to him. And like, he just kind of has, because like Pulp Fiction wasn't inherently his idea. He didn't come back because he was looking for a good movie. He was doing like Chains of Gold and Look Who's Talking 3.
Yeah.
He got cast in Pulp Fiction because Tarantino was like, I want this guy to have a comeback.
Yeah. But who wants him to have a comeback?
Me. I'm going to cast him in a movie.
All right. You let me know what part you write him for.
Yeah, it's going to be a Cash Out 3.
This is going to be a quick episode, folks, because like
this is the least... This might be the least exciting movie we've ever covered. Not the worst movie.
Not the worst
movie. We've covered substantially worse movies than
but
this.
But like, when we say like, this movie has... basically nothing happening in it.
This is a heist movie in which...
which is funny to say that out loud because like we watched this together last night.
Yeah.
And the moment we were like, we didn't know what the movie's about. Yeah. Like the movie was called Cash Out and there's like, you know, the poster is like Travolta in a suit and I'm thinking, okay, is this like a rich high society movie? Like what's it going to be? And then it like starts off with the mini heist that they put on to steal a car. We're kind of getting into plot mode, but like, and then immediately I looked at you like, oh my God, is this going to be a heist movie?
Yeah.
And we were like, heist movies are usually good. Even the bad ones are.
Yeah.
And so
not the case.
But no, but then it got even better because then like something happens. And then like later on, there's a small time jump. And then John Travolta has to go into a bank with his brother, Lucas Haas, who's trying to do a bank heist. And then 10 minutes later, they're still in the same bank. And that's when Jeff, you and I both had the realization. I'm like, oh my God, is the rest of the movie going to take place in the bank?
Is the rest of the movie just all set in this fucking building?
But then we had the same thought. It's like heist movies that all take place in one day at the same location can sometimes cook.
Yes. We've covered one on the show before, Mad City.
Right, yeah.
Which is like slightly different story, but it's the same basic idea of like
right.
guy people trapped in, you know, a pressure cooker location.
Right. And I think we both said like even the bad versions of these movies can cook sometimes.
Yeah, they can be interesting.
They can be interesting.
Mad City, one of those movies.
Yeah, like not a great movie, but it cooks yeah. on occasion.
Yeah. It has some juice.
So like folks,
this movie does not have juice.
This folks of the audience, like we give you both of these like ideas that it's a heist movie. It all takes place in the same location one day. Like you think, oh my God, like even if it's bad, it's got to have some excitement to it, right? No.
Yes.
It doesn't.
This, when we say this movie's all set in a bank, what we really mean is this movie is so low budget that is entirely set within a vacant office building.
Yeah.
That like they like put some facades up to look like a bank in the front.
Yeah.
And when I say vacant office building, I truly mean like you go to like your local business park near your hometown or wherever you're at right now. And they just picked one of those buildings. They're like, yep, we'll film the whole movie in there.
Yeah.
And that is it.
And that is it.
That is the movie.
Yeah.
This movie is directed by, quote unquote, Ives.
Who is this?
Ives is a pseudonym for Randall Emmett, who is one of the founders of production company Emmett Furlough Oasis Films.
Sounds like a scam.
Well, there's some things I'm gonna reveal about this guy and this. So he Randall Emmett, he started out as Mark Wahlberg's personal assistant, turned that into
Stay Prayed Up.
He eventually founded his own like Emmett Furlough Films, which is just like they were gonna make action movies, and just like be like financiers for like. Small movies like this.
Yeah.
He inexplicably makes his way to becoming a producer on The Irishman. Fun fact.
Okay.
The only like notable movies he's been a producer on are Two Guns, Silence, Lone Survivor, and The Irishman. So two Scorsese movies.
Yeah.
And this is just because he literally gave them money. It's not like he had any say in those movies. He just gave them money.
Okay.
Which guys like this do. Otherwise, for the most part, he has just done like direct-to-video action movies. As a producer.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at a list like he did. He put money towards Gotti. He put money towards Detective Knight, Rogue, which is a new Bruce Willis movie. Like, Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call. Alex Cross, Broken City. He's just a financier. He has no say in, like, the creative direction of these movies.
Yeah.
Escape Plan 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
He eventually kind of transitioned into directing his own movies. Starting with Midnight in the Switchgrass, which is a Bruce Willis movie, and Savage Salvation, which is a Robert De Niro action movie. These kind of movies that these guys do nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
You might be asking, why is he listed as Ives in the end credit of this movie?
Why is he listed as Ives?
I have multiple allegations against him for a variety of reasons.
Oh my God.
In 2020, the month that this movie was shot. This movie was filmed in June of 2020.
Yeah.
June 29, 2022, the LA Times released an article accusing Emmett of offering women movie roles in exchange for sex. The article also claimed that Emmett paid a woman a $200,000 settlement for inappropriate conduct and knocked his ex-fiance to the ground after she attempted to grab his phone. In 2023, Emmett was the subject of the documentary The Randall Scandal, Love, Loathing, and Vanderpump, exposing allegations against him for racial discrimination and employment abuse at EFO.
Sounds like a good old classic guy.
Yes. And there is a note that he left production of this movie, Cash Out, like 2 days before they finished filming, and like a producer finished it. And I believe that's because these allegations started coming out.
Okay.
So this movie's released under the name Ives, as a pseudonym because he's like, you know,
toxic. Yeah.
He's also apparently a professional poker player. Not that anyone cares.
I mean, that makes more sense into his like allegations.
Yes.
I hate to say it, but professional poker players, that's already a red flag.
Yeah. Like Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this movie's directed by a fucking scumbag. Who just made it for a quick buck and had to leave before production's finished.
Wouldn't it be the first scumbag movie, first scumbag director Travolta's work with?
Yeah, definitely not.
Fred Durst.
And then this guy goes on and he, I'll talk about the end of the episode. But yeah, so this movie's made by like a fucking creep for Saban Films for clearly dirt cheap.
Yeah.
However, this movie has one interesting thing going for it. So they clearly bought a drone. And they're like, we're going to get the money, as much money as we can out of this fucking thing.
Can you say that one more time, Jeff?
They bought a drone.
They bought a motherfucking drone. Yeah. And boy, do they use it in this movie.
So this movie stars John Travolta. It's a guy named Mason. It also stars Kristen Davis as Amelia, who's like his partner in crime. And then Lucas Haas is Sean, who's Travolta's brother. There are other actors in this movie, but nobody fucking cares.
Matter.
No disrespect to them, but who gives a shit? I sure don't.
This is my favorite, Jeff.
There's one other actor I'm going to shout out when we get to his scene. That's it.
Okay.
So a fucking movie starts. And like, we're on a private jet. It's probably the producer's plane. It's probably Travolta's plane, to be honest.
Probably Travolta's plane.
Yeah. And it's Travolta and Kristen Davis, and they're like flying to Miami. And they get out of the plane at Miami at like a private airfield. Probably Travolta's private airfield.
Probably Travolta's private airfield. fuck me.
And there's like a party going on for some like socialite
party, yeah.
And they're like, so. And Travolta's doing this fucking terrible Italian accent. Not like, you know, talking like Gatti. He's like, hey, it's a me. I'm a Travolta. Can I see your cars?
Yeah, he goes up to like the host of this party, whoever this fucker is.
Yeah.
And he's like, I hear you have a great car collection. And he's like, yes, come with me. And they go to an air hangar where they see like multiple different cars on display. And they're like, I hear you have like the secret one. It's like really nice. And he's like, well, I do. And then they uncover this car and it's like a very fancy car. They're like, could I get inside? Yes, you can. Can I start it up? Oh, okay. He starts it up.
Yeah.
And then he goes into his earpiece. All right, activate plan A. And then all of his goons, his thief goons, like go into action. And it's all the classic people. You have your muscle, you have the brains, you have your eye in the sky, like your hacker person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it's all the same people.
Except I don't know who any of these fucking people
are. Nah, I don't
Except care. Lucas Haas.
Except Lucas Haas.
We talked about on this show on the Boys episode as playing like a weirdo with Winona.
Yes. We have talked about him before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we were like, yeah, he continues working.
They steal
after
the fucking car.
They steal the car.
Yeah.
And then as they steal the car, they put the car in like a semi truck and they're on their way out. But then they get surrounded by the FBI.
Yeah, the cops are there.
How did this happen? We played everything by the book. And then Travolta looks over and Kristen Davis has a gun pointed
at him. Yeah, Amelia's had a gun pointed. He's like, how long? And she's like, the whole time.
The whole time. Even in Miami?
Yeah.
and then they're like evading the cops. And they're like, time to go to plan B.
No, this is when the drone comes
in. Oh, this is when the drone comes in.
Because folks, if any of you have seen Michael Bay's Ambulance, if you haven't, you should probably watch it. Because it's actually like...
Okay. It's pretty okay.
I know it might be crazy to say like Michael Bay made a very good movie. I am a fan of Michael Bay. I think he... is an interesting vulgar auteurist who makes some insane movies that are pure style. They're pure vibes.
Well, and he's violent to his crew, but...
Yes, and violent to his crew.
And his women actors, but...
Yes.
Whatever. But hey, he makes good movies, right?
Yeah, all right. Well... You really turned that one around on me, didn't you? Anyway, if you've seen Ambulance...
Ambulance is a pretty good movie. I don't want to take that away.
Mostly shot with like insane drone photography. They're doing crazy things with a drone.
And we don't mean drone like, you know, just like a static shot in the sky.
No, it'll be a drone going like 50 miles per hour and it'll fly like under a viaduct and then like go within like 10 inches of a truck and then do a flip and go over a building. Yeah,
somersaults, loop-de-loops, flips, 360s, all in a span of like 5 seconds.
Movie looks insane. But it's like, it's very, I would not say tasteful. It's not tasteful in the slightest, but it is like, there's like ideas behind it. There's like artistic direction.
Are we talking about Cash
Out? We're talking about Ambulance.
Okay. We're talking about Ambulance. Yeah. Okay.
This movie is trying to do the ambulance thing with its drones.
The first bit, and here's the thing, like, I don't want to just go on, like, immediately say, like, it's all awful. It's not all awful.
Yeah.
There's, like, one or two good
gems.
There's
some fun shots.
But there's other shots that are, like the one of the main problems that we said, again, we watched this movie together, was, like, how different the footage looks from the camera.
The drone camera looks startlingly different.
And one of the horrible cruxes about it is the first time we see the drone footage is at night.
Yeah.
And you can clearly tell.
It's crunchy.
It's crunchy. And it's dirty. Like, there's a lot of, like, static and ISO dust.
Issues.
And it's, like, clearly not calibrated to shoot this level of light at night. So right away, it's like, oh, that's weird and bad. Not great.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Cool.
But
it's, like, basically the drone's just, like, racing next to these fucking cars.
Yeah, getting, like,
doing counters
away.
And
yeah,
it's fine. It's more energetic than what this scene would have been without a drone. I will give it to them that it is more exciting than how they would have shot this without the drone.
Yeah,
which they couldn't afford it, like, probably stunt cars. They would have just had, like, fucking cameras on the cars and doing, like, I'm a little tired, doing, like, fucking pans with them.
Yeah. Like I said, there's, like, two or three, like, drone shots that actually work pretty well.
Yes.
That we'll talk about later, but yeah. So all this being said, they're being chased by the FBI and the cops are all surrounded. And then Travolta goes in his earpiece. It's like, guys, we may have to go to plan B.
Chris Davis is like, do not go. Do not do that.
Do not go to plan B.
They're really hyping up what plan B is.
And we're all thinking here, like, what's plan B? Like, what are they going to do? And then, like, and then you, and Lucas Haas says, passes the line that says, you know, I'm not a great swimmer. So right away, we're thinking, like, okay, like, something to do with the water. Yeah. Like, and so they get by the lake and they turn the truck into the lake.
Yeah.
They run into the water.
That's plan B.
And then what happens, Jeff?
We cut to them on the other side of the lake getting out of the lake.
Yeah. Plan B was just them driving into the water, climbing out of the cars and swimming to the other side.
Yeah. That was plan B.
That was plan B.
Yeah, and the cops are like, where'd they go?
There's no bodies.
Yeah, they're like,
where'd they go?
Hey, they put the truck in the water, and then where they went.
We were not prepared for that, guys.
It's like, guys, you have cars.
You have choppers.
They're swimming across a lake. There's only so fast a person can swim.
You also have helicopters.
Just fucking drive the car to the other side of the lake.
You have helicopters.
Yeah, or helicopters.
That can have spotlights and see these people.
And this is Travolta's genius plan B, is just drive the truck into the water.
Yeah,
it's the funniest shit I've ever seen.
But they all get out, and then it cuts to black 3 months.
Yeah, 3 months later. Chris Davis is working with the FBI.
Travolta's at his private...
Trying to hunt down Mason.
Yeah, Travolta's at his private lake house.
Yes.
And that's
which is clearly some, like, producer's lake house.
Right, exactly. Lucas Haston shows up. We told him that they're brothers, right? Lucas Haston
and Travolta
play brothers in this.
Please, Sean.
Yeah. And so Lucas Haas is like, I got another job for you, another score. He's like, what are you talking about? We have plenty of money. What is it? Why are you doing this? I'm retired. I'm out of the business. And he's like, yeah, but, like, I hate seeing you rot away like this. You need one more job. This one's a good one. It'll be a last score. It'll be a great job. And so Travolta's like, no, like, count me out of this one. And then we cut to Chris and Davis in the FBI, and they're like, hey, we're hearing some chatter about the Mason's crew on a new job. And then we cut back to Travolta, who gets a phone call, and it's one of the thieves that works with the crew. Don't ask me their name or
just a guy.
Fucking care. No, it's the girl who's a hacker.
Link.
Any fucking computer hacker named Link. Yeah. And so she's like, hey, it's bad. It's like, get on a plane here, bad.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what? And then it cuts to, this takes place in LA, San Francisco?
Seattle. Ostensibly
Seattle.
You would only know that because there's one drone shot of Seattle.
Which is totally stock footage.
Yeah, let's just draw stock footage. And then, like, we're just in a nondescript city. This movie was shot in Columbus, Georgia. So it's not actually Seattle.
Yeah. But. And so they're in Seattle. Travolta gets, like, we see this banker guy.
Yeah.
Eating lunch. Lucas Haas comes up to him. And he says, hey, I need your thumb. And he's like, that's very funny. And he pulls out a gun. He's like, oh, are you going to try to rob this place? He's like, yeah. And then he starts walking with the guy. Travolta sees him. Travolta stops Lucas Haas. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, trust me, this is a big score. He's like, where's the team? I'm pulling our team out. He goes into the bank. He sees all the guys there. He's like, we're pulling out. But then he turns around. Lucas Haas walks into the bank with the bank robber. They go into the back vault. And Travolta's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm looking for this thing. But the problem, he didn't bring the key.
Yeah.
He's like, I only have one key. You need two keys. Travolta's like, you already fucked up, Lucas Haas. Yeah. And then he talks to the Link and he's like, Link, we need to override the safety deposit box. Yeah. A thing that you can apparently do.
Yeah, on a computer.
On a computer. A thing that takes keys to lock it. Whatever. They open it and he's like, what are you looking for? There's a thumb drive with like
crypto.
With crypto on it. The thing is not in there.
Yeah.
It's a decoy box.
Yes.
This whole thing was a con.
Oh my God.
Travolta's like, how many people did you tell about this? I told my one guy. The guy who was in San Quentin for 10 years? Yeah. Kirsten Davis shows up with the FBI.
Yeah.
They all got tipped off about this gig. So they all had the place surrounded. Travolta knows this. He's like, they're here early. Who did you tell about this plan? Kirsten Davis calls, says, hi. This scene was actually kind of like okay because like the dialogue between like Kirsten Davis and like the team is actually like, I don't know, like I bought it.
Yeah, that's fine.
It was all right. But she's like, you guys should just like surrender, come out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where you think you're going. So I was like,
I'm not letting my guys go down.
Right. So then they're like, we got to figure out who are you after?
Yeah.
This person named Isabel Farrow. Link does Isabel Farrow. I'm just reeling through it.
Yeah. I want to quickly shout out when Kirsten Davis shows up to the, there's a bunch of cops already on the scene for the hostage situation. The lead cop is Matt Gerald, who real ones will know as Corporal Lyle Wainfleet from Avatar and Avatar The Way of Water.
Thank you. That was very something we needed just, to know.
It's very important to me.
Yeah. I don't have a button to press.
It's Wainfleet week.
So, they figure out Isabel Farrow is connected to a different security deposit box that's connected to a very powerful man named Abel Salazar. Who is Abel Salazar, Jeff?
That's a great question, one we don't have an answer to.
Well, we get that he's like a billionaire that funds military coups and overthrows governments.
Yes.
That's it. Is Abel Salazar in this movie, Jeff?
No, Abel Salazar is not in this movie.
Who is in this movie?
Not Isabel Farrow.
But like a guy named fucking Mr. Flowers?
Yeah, Mr.
Flowers. Like, who's like the contact? Like,
yeah, he's like the guy.
He's like the manager?
Yeah, the middle manager
For Salazar?
For Abel Salazar.
Yeah. But then
Capitan Salazar.
But then Kirsten Davis is like,
Jack Sparrow.
Honestly, yeah, I kind of got the vibe too. If it was played by Javier Bodem,
be insane for him to do that.
Yeah.
Capitan Jack.
Yeah.
Tell him Salazar has a message for him.
So, that all being said, Kirsten Davis, who's like taking over custody of like the case, then the military shows up.
Yes.
JSOC.
JSOC.
JSOC. And they're like, we're taking over the investigation.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I have a very important person who needs to make sure they do not get into that security deposit box or whatever. They're like, oh, my, and then she calls Travolta. Travolta's like, what do they want? They're going to kill you. Surrender. These are bad guys. Travolta's like, okay, I got to figure out something else out. So they break into a building next to the bank, which again, is just an extension of this fake office building, right? They drag this like poor banker with them the entire time.
Yes, this poor guy.
Lucas Haas, who's like the dumbest bank robber ever imaginable. Okay. There's hostages.
Yes.
We should mention that they have hostages. Yeah. Travolta's not playing it off a hostage taker, though.
The way that this movie operates is that you think ostensibly it's a heist movie, but they show up and they're very nice to the hostages. And they're treated very fairly by the police.
Travolta and Kirsten Davis are very cordial with each other.
They get whatever they want. Each side does.
Yeah.
And then like the criminals just wait around and they get what they want ultimately out of the vault.
I need like 13 pizzas and beer and water.
And they make a deal.
It's like, all right, I need two hostages. Here you go. No stakes.
Nobody's hurt. Nobody has any issues. Nobody like neither the police nor the criminals have an issue. It all works out. It's like the smoothest operation ever. There's no tension in this movie.
There's no tension.
At one point, the bank manager runs away and there's like a chase through a fucking cubicle bullpen.
Yeah.
With like a drone flying and crazy maneuvers.
Yeah.
That's it.
They find a like a computer hard drive room with a hard drive that's like the dirt box for Abel Salazar. This is like where Abel Salazar has all of his dirt.
Yes.
So then they break into that. Kirsten Davis is like, they're coming in. You guys got to surrender.
Yeah. And Trolls is like, well, we'll send some hostages out.
Yeah.
They send out hostages who have like medication and need. They just say, he's like, what are these two girls? Let's let them out.
The college girls.
Yeah. They have final exams tomorrow. Let's let them out. And so these girls are like, yeah, we got exams, and they leave. But then there's still another shots inside later because this movie has no fucking continuity.
Then at some point, they all surrender. Like, yes. Link and Travolta, but like Lucas Haas and the other two guys. Henchmen guys. They all surrender to the police. Yeah. And we think, you and I are watching this movie and we're like, okay, something's got to happen here. Like, if they're being like hunted by Abel Salazar, then one of the guys is going to shoot them preemptively, right?
Yes. That's what you'd think.
Does that happen?
No, they all just walk out and they're fine.
And they're fine. They get arrested very peacefully, very fine.
Yeah. And then like Mr. Flowers lead some cops inside and they find Travolta in the basement.
And then there's an explosion.
Yeah. And he's got like, yeah. And there's an explosion and you're like, what happened? Did Travolta just, you think Travolta just killed himself and all these fucking
Himself and all these fucking guys. Cause there's a phone call where he's like, he talks to Kirsten Davis, like, when this is over, take care of my crew.
Yeah. Take care of them for me.
What do you mean? You're going to get out of this too. I don't know. This might be the end of the road for me.
Yeah. Folks, we truly didn't skip anything in that.
We've not skipped anything in this movie.
It's just that it is the least exciting movie ever made.
And so then the explosion happens. You think Travolta's dead, but again, they can't find any bodies. Yeah.
But then Kirsten Davis gets a postcard.
And he's like, and also Lucas Haas and the two henchmen aren't in the system anywhere. Yeah, even though we arrested them, they're gone. So what really happened? She quits the FBI. She gets a postcard. She shows up to this like private villa.
Yeah. To Travolta's lake house.
And Travolta's there alive and well.
Yeah.
Same with Lucas
like,
Haas.
She's like, what happened?
And we cut back to the basement where there's the computer and hard drives.
Mr. Flower shows up and Trolls is like, I got all your dirt. We'll post it on the internet unless you give us what you want. And he's like, what do you want? And he's like, I want $10 million for each of my guys, $1 million for each of the hostages.
New identities, fake our deaths.
Yeah, new identities for my guys. And Mr. Flower's like, okay, we can do that.
We can do that. So great, let's blow this up and fake our deaths.
And it just works.
And it just works.
Yeah. There's like no counter negotiation.
Cut back to the villa. Kirsten Davis is like, oh, wow, that's really cool.
It's crazy that worked out.
And then they kiss.
Yeah.
And then the movie's over.
Yeah. That's the fucking movie.
We did that in 31 minutes.
Yeah.
The movie's 90 minutes long. Is it 90 minutes with credits?
Yeah.
Okay. The credits were really slow. Did you get that? You notice that?
I did notice that. They are extremely slow.
Got to pad that time. Yeah. The least exciting movie I've ever seen with no tension. Boys was more exciting than this
movie. We have
movie.
Covered significantly more exciting movies on this show.
I'm trying to think of a movie with lowest stakes is this.
It's
movie.
Crazy going back. Imagine you go back to like 2001 or whatever, and you're like, yeah, the girl from Sex and the City and John Travolta are going to be in an action movie together in 20 years.
And nothing happens.
And you'd be like, wow, that's going to be nuts. That's weird.
But like, what's a movie that is less exciting than this?
I don't think we've covered one.
Sorry. What's an action movie that's less exciting than this? Because you have to understand that this is marketed as like an action heist movie.
Yes. It's called Cash Out. I'm looking at the Travolta movies we've covered recently. Like Paradise City has a little more juice to it. There's shootouts in that.
Yeah.
Die Hard and Mobland, there's stuff that happens in those.
Stuff actually happens in Mobland.
The Poison Rose trading paint.
This movie
kills.
Makes me think Mobland was actually not that bad.
Mobland is an improvement on this.
Yeah.
That's like a very loose thing to say, though. All these late-stage Travolta movies are disasters, but this is like an especially unexciting one.
And we have even better news for the audience. They're making another one.
That's right. Cash Out 2 High Rollers.
When's that coming out? TB determined.
Yeah, TBD. They're making it. We're really speeding through this, but Cash Out sucks. Don't watch it. John, please, we're begging you. Hands and knees here.
Like, I just, like, I have to say, like, Travolta's just given up all hope of, like, trying to make any improvement on his career whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, you can't sit me down and have me watch this movie and think like, oh, this guy like actually cares.
This might be good. No, he's checked out.
He's so checked out.
He's clearly still having fun.
Yeah, like he has a bit of fun in the movie. But like he's still like giving a checked out performance.
Yeah. I'm looking at pictures from Cash Out Two High Rollers right now.
It's all just like the selfies from that guy.
Yeah, it's just like one guy posted a bunch of selfies on the IMDb for the movie.
So that means they shot it, right?
Oh, yeah, the movie shot in 2023. Yeah, here's a picture of John on the set.
With an umbrella.
Yeah, with an umbrella. Kristen Davis not returning for the sequel.
Yeah.
She's been recast with Gina Gershon. But most of the other cast is back. It's true. They've cast someone to play Abel Salazar. So he's back in the sequel. The kid named Miller Garfunkel.
Like somebody who's hyped up as much as Abel Salazar should be somebody of like, they walk on screen and you feel it.
Yeah.
And it's a nobody.
Yeah, truly non-existent person.
What if it was Eric Roberts?
My God, they should have just got fucking... He'd do anything. He'll show up for a meal and a day rate.
If he shows up as like Abel Salazar, that at least would mean something.
That'd be some juice.
Right?
But yeah, folks, if you thought this episode was high energy, don't worry, because when we come back for Cash Out Two High Rollers...
We're going to be high rolling.
Yeah, we're going to be high rolling. That might be an actively toxic episode.
I might have to be high for that episode.
That might be an actively toxic episode for us.
Yeah.
That's one of Travolta's only two upcoming movies is That's Amore and Cash Out Two High Rollers.
Do you have any final thoughts?
Don't watch this movie. It's really all I got to say. Like, I hope that Travolta gets into good movies soon. Jesus Christ. I'm begging you. I'm begging and pleading.
When's Fraser's next movie? When do we get to go back to revisit Fraser? Who's actually on an upswing.
He has two movies actually coming out.
Right? Brothers and something else, right?
He has a movie called Brothers, which shot and is completed, starring Josh Brolin and Peter Dinklage.
That sounds actually really good.
But seemingly no one knows anything about when it's coming out. The only picture of it is there's this one picture of an actor's headshot. That is all that exists on IMDb for this movie.
Okay.
And then he's also in this movie called Rental Family. It's seemingly currently shooting. It's about him in Tokyo. A lonely, down-and-out American actor living in Tokyo starts working for a Japanese rental family company to play various stand-in roles in other people's lives. Along the way, he discovers unexpected joys within his built-in family.
I hope that's
it's
good.
It's by the guy who did that show Beef.
Oh, okay.
So it's like there's like something to it.
It was promising.
They started filming it a month ago.
Yeah.
For Fox Searchlight, or I should just say Searchlight, because Fox doesn't exist anymore. But yeah, hope that movie's good. Yeah. But and we'll get to talk about it. That'll be our next Frasier, unless Brothers comes out beforehand.
Yeah.
But for now, this has been our check-in with Travolta. We hope you got something out of this episode. We sure didn't.
Hope you didn't crash your car and fall asleep.
Yeah. Next week we're back to talking about Winona in the current saga. We're talking about Autumn in New York. Her Richard Gere romantic drama. It's another barn burner of a movie.
Yeah.
In the vein of Cash Out. Yeah. It's more exciting than this. It's better than this.
Hopefully.
It is, definitely. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you guys for listening to this episode. Travolting presents Travolting. As a reminder, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on. As a reminder, we're available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube. Pop into our Reddit, r/Trollting, yada yada, at TrolltingPod, Twitter, Instagram, TrolltingPodcast@gmail.com, @HFWSweeney on Twitter. Special thanks as always for graphic design and Michael Van Bodegan Smith for the theme music. Have a great week, folks. See you for Autumn in New York.